Good morning and happy Memorial Day weekend. I have to comment because I thought it was so cute looking in the bulletin this morning, and maybe you noticed it, maybe you didn't, maybe you picked up on it, maybe you didn't, but there was a note in there about gardening. Of course, we have the church garden going, and a little boy and little girl are talking, and the little girl, I think it was, says something to the effect of, all you have to do to get the garden to grow is plant the seed and pray to your gardening angel. I thought it was cute. Anyway, the garden is in and growing, and we're thankful for that. Memorial Day is an American holiday. It's to celebrate and to remember military service members who have died in the line of duty. Memorial Day was originally called Decoration Day, as the holiday was centered on decorating the graves of those who had fallen during the Civil War. And today, we come together, and I do want to remember all those that have given their lives. I want to remember those that have sacrificed their life for our country. But as I do this, and I've done Memorial Day services for years and years and years and years and years, and said the same thing for years and years and years and years and years. And be very, very honest with you. We don't want to forget, and I do believe it's important, and please don't anybody throw stones at me. But I think we're going to go a little further than that today, because I find there's an increasing importance in remembering not just servicemen or police or those that are protecting us, but I think we need to remember both the dead and the living of all mankind. And we also need to remember, when we think of our servicemen and those that are serving our nation, we really need to remember their families. Remember the spouses who, whether it's a husband sending his wife off to war or a wife sending her husband off, remember the spouses and the sacrifice that they make. So this morning, before I actually get into the message, what I'd like for us to do is I'd like to begin with just by lifting up a prayer. And it's just a prayer in memory of those that have sacrificed all they have for our nation. So would you bow your heads, please? Heavenly Father, I want to thank you for the brave men and women who put their lives on the line every day for our country. Lord, they're living out what it means to serve. By protecting us, they're putting us before themselves, and I'm so thankful for all of them. They're blessing this nation, and I pray that you will watch over them and bless them tenfold. Thank you, Lord, for our troops. Father, without men and women of courage, we'd not be the country that we are today. And whether they be military or police or fire or rescue, I just hold them in high esteem and am grateful for each and every one. Thank you for the men and the women who serve to save life and freedom, either here or on foreign soil. And I pray that you would be with them and their families today. And we just lift this up in Jesus' name. Amen. As I said, we're going to kind of go a different route today. There's a story about a city fella. He was kind of the city type. And he went to visit some relatives out on the farm. And when he went out and visited them, he went out with the farmer that was a relative. And the farmer looked and he gave a whistle. And boy, the dog just immediately went and it went after the sheep. And it herded all the sheep into a pen. And after it got the sheep into the pen, then it used its paw and actually closed the lock on the gate. Wow! That's some dog, said the city feller. What's her name? Well, the farmer was a little bit forgetful, and He thought for a minute. And then he asked, he said, what do you call that, you know, that red flower? It smells kind of good, and it has thorns, you know, on the stem. The city fellow looked at him and said, you mean a rose? That's it, the farmer said. Hey, Rose, what's the name of our dog? There are times when we humans can be quite forgetful. I've been there. I've done that. I've probably got the t-shirt. And if you think about it hard enough, you've probably done the same thing. We are forgetful. And it is the truth. The older you get, the more forgetful you get. We try not to. Donna is not getting older. I'm not saying that, so I better back off a little bit. But Donna, in wanting to keep her mind sharp and train her mind, she started. You guys ever hear of Sudoku? Yeah, anyway, it's all about numbers. And so she started playing that game, and she says, I'm just training my mind to keep my mind sharp. And I just look at it, and it looks like a bunch of garbage. I can't figure it out. But I just wonder, what is the worst happening of forgetfulness that maybe you've ever experienced? I think mine goes back to life on the reservation. And when we lived on the reservation, we lived out in the middle of nowhere. And I had to go to town. Town was about 50 miles away, 30 to 50, somewhere in that range. And I had to go to town. And so I got all ready, and I needed to be in town at a certain time. And I go out, and I hop in the van, and I head to the town, and I get about 3 miles from home up to where the highway came in. And I realized there was something missing. It was Dana. I had driven and left her at home, laying in the living room floor, totally forgot her. And I just quickly turned around. I headed back home as fast as I could. I walked in the house, and Dana was just laying in the floor with a smile on her face. And we had a wonderful golden retriever at that time named Yankee. And Yankee was just kind of laying there with her, making sure everything was okay. That was pretty serious. It took me a long time before I told Donna that story. Did you ever get to your car and reach for your keys and didn't have them? Or maybe you couldn't remember your own phone number or house number or the street where you lived or the names of some of your children? There it is. Well, if we were put in the right situation at the right time, we all can be quite forgetful. One day, Albert Einstein had moved to his home at the Institute of Advanced Study in Princeton, New Jersey. The telephone rang in the office of the dean of Princeton Graduate School, and the voice on the other end inquired, "May I speak to Dr. Einstein, please?" Advised that he was not in, the voice continued, "Perhaps then you'll tell me where Dr. Einstein lives." And the secretary replied that she couldn't do this since Dr. Einstein wished to have his privacy respected. The voice on the phone dropped to a near whisper, "Please, don't tell anybody, but I am Dr. Einstein. Now I'm on my way home, and I've forgotten where my house is." That would be bad. At a commuter at a train station, policeman noticed a woman driver, and she's sitting in a car, and her head is bowed over the steering wheel. Obviously, she is upset and distressed and great discomfort. Police officer walks over, and he asked her, he said, "Is there anything wrong?" Well, half crying and half laughing, she said, For 10 years, I have been driving my husband to this station every morning to catch this train. This morning, I forgot him." Folks, the worst forgetfulness of all is to forget people. And one of the biggest lessons that we need to learn is that God didn't put us here for us. God put us here for others. In 2 Corinthians 1, verse 3 and 4 says this, "Praise be to the God and Father of our Lord Jesus Christ, for the Father of compassion and the God of all comfort, who comforts us in our troubles, so that we can comfort those who are in trouble." Did you hear that? Did it kind of speak to you? God comforts us so that we can comfort others. We go through things in life, and we have to turn to God, and we have to say, "God, the only way I'm going to get through this is with your help." Anybody been there? Where you know, I'm not going to make this. I can't do it on my own. So I'm saying to God, I can only do it with your help. And he helps us, and we get through it. Now, there's a point to that, because now we are able to help others. We're able to look at others. And you know, the truth is this. You can never look at somebody and say, "I know how you feel." That's a lie. You can say, "I know how I felt when I was in that situation." But you can't say, "I know how you feel," because you don't. You're not them. You've not had their life experience. You've not had the time that they've had. You're not them. So all you can relate to is what you know as to how you felt. And that is an honest answer. And folks, in that we can help others. God ministers to us so that we can minister others. God loves us so that we can love others. God put us on this planet, and it is so cool. He put us here for others. We get selfish and we get stingy and we think it's all about us, and it's not. Philippians 2:3. It says this, "Do nothing out of selfish ambition or vain conceit, but in humility consider others better than yourselves." That hurts. That hurts because that's hard to practice. We do not live in a society that says somebody's better than we are. We live in a prideful society that says, "I am better than you are." That's not true. And we need to look at others and realize that and place them in a position where they're better than we are, because you know what? We're all sinners. And we're all in the same shape when it comes to God. And God looks at us all and he says, "I've placed you here for others," and you need to realize how important that is. We live in a very self-centered society. It's every man, woman, and child for themselves. And we say, "I'm taking care of myself." By the way, that's also another fallacy that just isn't true. God can take care of you, but folks, you can't handle it yourselves. And some of you may sit there and say, "Oh, yes, I can." Be careful, my friends. Be careful. Because when we start telling God that we can do it and that we don't need him, he's going to let us know how much we really do need him. "I'm taking care of myself." In humility, we're to consider others better than ourselves. And we need to look and see the good in others. And we don't spend a lot of time doing this. That good which may well exceed your good. We need to look for that. One of the things I do with the police that I work with and people that I work with and people that I know is I try to share with them, I don't care how rotten somebody is. I don't care how much of a reprobate they are. I don't really care for all the terrible things they're done. I believe there's good in people. And I take the time to look for the good. Look for the good in that thief. Look for the good in that drug addict. Look for the good in people. Because God's looking for that same good. Now, honestly, you got to dig a little deep sometimes to find it, but it's there, because God has created us to be good. He has put good into us, and we need to try to see that in others, and we need to treat others that way. Came across a poem, I kind of like it. It says, "Wouldn't this old world be better if folks we met would say, 'I know something good about you,' and then treat us just that way? Wouldn't it be fine and dandy if each hand clasp, warm and true, carried with it this assurance, I know something good about you. Wouldn't life be lots more happy if the good that's in us all were the only thing about us that folks bothered to recall? Wouldn't life be lots more happy if we praise the good we see? For there's such a lot of goodness in the worst of you and me. Wouldn't it be nice to practice that fine way of thinking too? You know something good about me, I know something good about you. There is something good in us all. And we need to look for that good. We need to praise that good. We need to realize that good in others and be better than the good that's in us. Philippians 2:4 says this, each of you should look not only to your own interests, but also to the interests of others. We should be interested in others for their good, not for our gossip. Most people are only interested in others because they want to spread the bad news. You ever known a gossiper? I've never known a gossiper that admits they're a gossiper. But you can sure tell them, because when you tell them a story, they want all the details. And even maybe add a few more. And the reason they want to know it all is so that they can tell it to somebody else the wrong way. That's a gossiper. Tell me everything. I want to know everything. And then they spread the rumor. They want to spread the news that they can try and find out about someone, good, bad, or otherwise. This Memorial Day weekend, we need to be concerned about others for their good. For many people, this weekend, all it means is picnics, parades. For some, maybe pubs. It means grills, family, food, fun. But for a few sorrowful souls, it means going to the graves of the deceased loved ones and remembering. Remembering, that can be tough to do. And perhaps that's why we don't do it too much or too well. But it's generally good to remember others, deceased or otherwise. I went to the Policeman's Memorial Breakfast over in Rockford. They have it every year. And it's a time to remember officers that have died in the line of duty. And there's a certain region here that belongs to this association. And I always find it interesting because one of the things they do is they read the names of all of the officers. And they'll read the name, and after each name, you'll have somebody over here reading the name, and then somebody over here just says one word, remember. Then somebody's name, remember. That's not easy. And it's hard because of that reminder of the hurt, but we're to remember others. On this Memorial Day weekend, we need to think about people. And God put us here to remember people. And we need to think of them in two ways, and I'm going to talk about that. We need to remember people in death. But folks, we also need to remember people in life. In John 11, verse 1 through 5, and then 17 through 44, there's a great story about Jesus. And here's what's happening. Jesus' friend, Lazarus, has died. And family members come and they say, Jesus, come, your friend is sick. Well, at this point, he's only sick, but Jesus says, okay, I've got some things to do, but I'll be there. And then they come and they say, Jesus, your friend Lazarus is dead. He died. We know if you would have been there, he would have lived. Now, the thing is, folks, Jesus felt sorrow the same way we feel sorrow. Jesus hurt the same way we hurt. He loved Lazarus. He loved Lazarus and his sisters. And Jesus hears this, and there's a passage there in Scripture with this whole story, and just two words, shortest verse in the Bible. Jesus wept. And they came and they said, Jesus, your friend Lazarus is dead. Jesus wept. There's many applications to that. But certainly one is the sorrow that he felt. He loved Martha, and he loved the sisters of Lazarus. Jesus loved people, and it's such an understatement. And at times, he loved some more intensely than others, and there's really nothing wrong with that. We are to love all people. But it's true that we do love some more intensely at times. Or they are needing more love from us than others. That's okay. It's all right to do that. It's all right to show that at times more love for those that are really needing it. Well, that's what you should do. Romans 12:5, simple passage. Rejoice with those who rejoice. Weep with those who weep. Rejoice with those who rejoice. Weep with those who weep. I had a very disturbing call this week. A good friend of mine, and I can't go into all of the details because I've not been given permission to, but the word came that this person has cancer. Incurable. There is no hope as far as other than what God might do. And this person has been given 6 to 8 months to live. They know that death is coming. The good part of the story is that this person knows Jesus as Savior and Lord. This person has given his life to God a long time ago and said, "Here I am." But when I heard that news, I wept. Because this person is somebody that I care about. Rejoice with those who rejoice. Weep with those who weep. You know, sometimes people hurt a whole lot, and they weep. And it's during those times that we need to show them greater kindness and more intense love. They need to be loved. They need to be remembered. So how's your love life? And by that I mean, how much do you love people? We need to remember people in death. Jesus loved Lazarus, who had just died, and he loved Lazarus' sisters as well. Do you remember that story? And Jesus goes and he says, "Lazarus, come on out of there." They'd already buried him, and he's in a tomb. And Jesus goes and he walks to the entrance of the tomb, and I've been to a place in Israel that they call the Lazarus tomb, and that's the traditional spot where all this occurred. And you can see, as you look into the tomb, in the tomb you go down some stairs, around a corner, and then back in here is a burial place. It's like a big cave. And Jesus stands at the entrance, and just imagine it. Just imagine if you were there, and Jesus, the Son of God, He steps up and he just calls out. He says, "Lazarus, come forth." People thought he'd lost his mind. They're looking at him. They're saying, "Oh my, he's done it now. What is he doing?" And then as they're standing there, you start hearing some ruffling. You got to get those bandages off somehow. The swaddling, not the swaddling, but the cloth wrapped around him. Something's happening down in the tomb, and they hear this. And then Jesus kind of steps back out of the opening, big opening like this. And as they look, is that a ghost? Who? And Lazarus comes out. Now, how many do you think fainted at that exact moment? Jesus cared about all people, and he loved them. I heard about a lady working in a nursing home who made it her mission to sit with the dying if no other family members were present. And I know that's hard to do, and not everyone can do that sort of a thing. But if your faith in the Lord is strong enough, it can be done, and it should be done. And her thinking is that no one should die alone. And she wants to demonstrate love for the dying as they leave this world. We all need to remember people in death in some form or another. Go to the cemetery where your loved ones are buried and remember. And it may shock your heart somewhat to do, but do it anyway. Someone said, "Say goodbye to me, but not to the thought of me." Remember your loved ones who have gone before you. Remember and appreciate them. Remember and rejoice in their good. Remember and praise God for them. Say goodbye to me, but not to the thought of me. Remember people in their death. We also need to remember people in life. And sometimes I think one's easier than the other. There was a young boy, his name was Mark Schultz. He lived in Bremerton, Washington. He had no father, 12 years old, and he liked to fish, but he had no adult to take him fishing. So he came up with an idea. Mark, this 12-year-old boy, submitted a want ad asking for adult volunteers to take him fishing. He received 20-some phone calls, and somebody showed up to take him fishing. We all need to remember people in life, and we need to remember them in any form that shows we care about them. And taking them fishing or some other good thing, that's just a part of remembering. Matthew 9, 35 to 36, Jesus says, "Jesus went through all the towns and villages, teaching in their synagogues, preaching the good news of the kingdom." Preaching the good news of what? Jesus went through all the towns and the villages, preaching the good news. Okay, what is the kingdom? It's all around us. It's outside the doors of this church. This is just a building. The kingdom is the living. That's good. It's outside the church. It's everything around us. The kingdom of heaven is what God is trying to build. It's what God is trying to do. And when we are taught about things, it's kingdom building. And when we see Jesus talk, he says, "The kingdom of heaven is like." The kingdom of heaven is like, and he's talking about what's going on in the world around us, the kingdom of heaven. Our Father, who is in heaven. Hallowed be thy name, thy kingdom. It doesn't say thy church come, and I'm getting off track. It doesn't say thy church come. It's not about the church. It's about the kingdom. And we build the kingdom of God in the world that we live in. That's what we're to be doing. Now I'll get back into my notes. Jesus went through all the towns, villages, teaching in their synagogues, preaching the good news of the kingdom and healing every disease and sickness. When he saw the crowds, he had compassion on them because they were harassed and helpless like sheep without a shepherd. You see, Jesus was a looker. And that is, he really looked at people. He looked at them deeply and he could see their hurt. He could see their pain. He could see their sorrow. Jesus was aware of the people around him, and he was sensitive to them. Folks, what about you? What about you? My routine in life is to notice people, and I try very hard. And I try not only to notice people, but I try to understand their needs the best I can. And then as I understand their needs, I try very hard to meet as many of those needs as I possibly can. And what I truly hate is when I fail. When my eyes are open and I'm not seeing. Helen Keller once said, "To be blind is bad, but it's worse to have eyes and not to see." Sometimes we are so blind to the pain of others. Also heard it said that we cannot heal the wounds that we do not feel, or perhaps the wounds we do not see. See, Jesus not only saw the people and saw their pain and saw their hurt, he felt their hurt. He was not only sympathetic, he was empathetic. A pastor was in a study and he was preparing a sermon, and his little boy, little toddler, came into the room holding up a pinched finger. He said with an expression of suffering, "Look, Daddy, it hurts really bad." The preacher father glanced at him and with a tone of impatience said, "I can't help it, honey." The little boy's eyes just grew bigger, and as he turned to go out, he said in a low voice, "Yes, you could have helped. You could have said, 'Oh, I'm sorry.'" Are we so blind? Are we so unsympathetic? So insensitive that we can't see the hurts around us? What'll make the difference? What'll make the difference in us personally? Another story I heard, man put up a sign in his yard and said, "Puppies for sale." And among those who came to inquire about the puppies was a young boy. "Please, mister," he said, I'd like to buy one of your puppies, and if they don't cost too much..." "Well, son, they're $25 each," said the man. "Oh," the little boy looked crushed, "I've only got $2.05. Can I see them anyway?" "Of course. Maybe we can work something out," said the man, and the boy's eyes danced at the sight of those five little balls of fur as they bounced here and bounced there. The little boy said, "I heard that one has a bad leg." The man said, "Yeah, I'm afraid that she'll be crippled for life." "Well, that's the puppy I want," said the little boy. Could I pay for her a little at a time?" The man responded, he looked at him and said, but she'll always have a limp. She'll always have a limp in that leg." Smiling bravely, the boy pulled up one pant leg and revealed the brace on his leg. "I don't walk too good either." Then looking at the puppy sympathetically, he continued, "I guess she'll need a lot of love and a lot of help. I sure did. It's not so easy being crippled." "Here, take her," said the man. "I know you'll give her a good home and just forget about the money." Folks, when we get to the point of our lives that we realize we too are crippled humans, then we'll demonstrate sympathy and we'll demonstrate compassion for others in their pain and in their suffering. We cannot understand what we have not experienced. Look around you. Look at the crowds. Look at the people. Be aware. Be sensitive. And have compassion. Remember people where they live and while they live. One other thing that we should think about in regard to remembering people in life. In Matthew 20, verse 28, Jesus said, "The Son of Man did not come to be served, but to serve, and to give his life as a ransom for many. Folks, Christ was a servant to others. He didn't stand around waiting to be served. He washed the feet of his disciples. He went about doing good. He healed people. He touched people. He connected with children. And instead of trying to run them down or run them off, he blessed them. You see, Jesus was the servant of servants. One time a man asked his friend, he said, "By whose preaching were you converted?" The man replied, "Not by anyone's preaching, but by my mother's practicing." I'll tell you what, few people serve more or better than a loving mother, and I have to throw that in there. And all of us could learn from loving mothers and that have gone about their business and they've never said a word, they've never complained, but they just kept right on serving and loving. We need to remember people by being servants to one another. Years ago, the Salvation Army was holding an international convention, and their founder, General William Booth, couldn't attend because of a physical weakness that he had. So he cabled his convention message to them, and it was one word, just one word, and that word said, "Others." Went on to say, "Lord, help me to live from day to day in such a self-forgetful way that even when I kneel and pray, my prayer shall be for others. Help me in all the work I do to ever be sincere and true and know that all I do for you must be done for others. Let self be crucified and slain and buried deep and all in vain. May efforts be to rise again, unless to live for others. And when my work on earth is done, and my new work in heaven's begun, may I forget the crown I've won while thinking still of others." Others, Lord, yes, others. Lest this my motto be, help me to live for others, that I may live like thee. Let's bow our heads. My prayer this morning is that this Memorial Day we would not only be thinking of those in the military and sacrifices paid there, but that we would think of others who are suffering, who are hurting, who are in need, that we would make less of ourselves and more of others. My prayer is that we would just look at who we can help and how we can help them, and then do the things that we should. Heavenly Father, as we come today, we just, Lord, we just want to remember those, the living and the dead. We remember those, Father, that we love that have gone on to be with you, and we seek peace and contentment in that we understand someday we too will be reunited and will be with you in heaven, and there will be a reunion and a time of rejoicing. Heavenly Father, I pray for those who are hurting and suffering today, those whose hearts are broken. Lord, I pray for the downtrodden and the ones that struggle financially and others struggling with health and struggling with relationships and personal issues. Open our eyes. And we can see this. Open our eyes that we are willing to step into someone's life and put our arm around them and maybe do nothing more than give them a hug, but that hug says we're here and we love you and we care for you and we want to do all that we can. Heavenly Father, we lift this to you in Jesus' name. Amen.